I don't have any particular scripture lesson on my mind this morning. During the morning, my mind has been dwelling on really a comparison between our mothers and the church. There is a strong similarity between our mothers and the church. My mind has been thinking along those lines, and I hope that I can share a few thoughts with you. I know they'll be rambling and scattered because it seems that I'm getting so I can't just take a line of thought and then stick with it. I just more or less gotten so I ramble all the time anyway. I'll ask you at this time if you'll join with us as we try to pray. Our Heavenly Father, for all of Thy blessings we thank Thee, especially that we can be in Thy house once again, can think about Thee, and remember the many times in the past as we have been blessed at being in Thy house. And we pray, Father, that as we come this day, that this might be another occasion that we'll be blessed of Thee, that we will come to realize that Thou art God, that Thou dost pour out Thy mercy upon us. Teach us, Father, how to be grateful for Thy mercy, especially how to serve Thee better, because we know, Father, that as much as we've served Thee in the past, that all of that's gone, and now we face the future, and we pray that our future might be a continued service to Thee, and that always we might serve Thee better and better. We pray, Father, especially Thy blessings to be upon the church. With Thou knowest the needs that we have, we pray that Thou wilt be with the church in those special ways. And Father, if it could be consistent with Thy will, that she might find an under-shepherd who would lead her in serving Thee and in looking to Thee and in depending upon Thee and in honoring Thy great and matchless name in the community. Now, Father, we pray in a special way for this hour. Bless us as we think about the church and as we think about Thee and as we think about one another. Forgive us our sin, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would begin with the thought that mothers and the church are both gifts from God. I'm sure that most of the time, and maybe I'm thinking everybody else was like me, but most of the time we don't think about our mothers as being a gift from God. But I'm sure that those who have, by the circumstances of their lives, had to grow up without mothers and the influence of mothers, that they know more about that than I do. I was blessed with a godly mother. In fact, if I was going to pick out another one, I would want another one just like the one I had. Maybe that's because she's the only one I ever knew. But I think that there is a strong similarity between our mothers and the church. Our mothers... Well, I remember when I was young and looked back on the things that influenced my life. My mother had, I think, probably more influence on my life than any other person. One thing that she taught me was to enjoy working. I remember on one occasion when I was little, and one day I mentioned, and I don't know why I mentioned it, but I mentioned that I wish we had a slave. See, this was in the time not too long after slavery was a way of life here. And I mentioned that I wished that we had a slave so that I wouldn't have to work. And she scolded me severely and pointed out that if we had a house full of slaves, I'd still have work to do. But as I saw her example, that she didn't shirk as far as work was concerned, and I learned that if I didn't have something to do, life would be monotonous. When I was working for a living, I was getting to the point where I was going to retire. And somebody asked me one day, "What are you going to do when you retire?" And I said, well, the first day I'm going to sleep just as late as I want to. And I did. Got up and used your time. But I slept as late as I wanted to. And I said, now the second day I'm going to get up real early and go fishing. And I didn't do that one. Don't know what I did the second day. Then I said, now the third day I'm going to start looking for something else to do. Because as long as I live, I want to have something to do so I'll have something to look forward to. I think I had already realized that as much as I liked fish, as much as I enjoyed fishing, that if that's all I had to do, it would soon get monotonous. And so I wanted something else to do. And I've been fortunate in that respect that I've had something else to do to occupy my mind. And I've enjoyed being retired from, well, really two standpoints. I have a good retirement system, and since I've retired, I haven't had to wonder where my next meal was going to come from, because I've had steady income, and also, when I wanted to take a day off, I could. And every once in a while, we do need to take a day off and have a little change in our lives. But my mother, she taught me the value of work. As I look back, she was the first one up in the morning and the last one to go to bed at night. And she'd get up and fix breakfast, and the rest of us would get up in time to eat. And then when bedtime came, she got everybody else off to bed before she went to bed herself. And she took care of the house. I don't remember ever seeing my father sweep the floor but one time. One time my mother was sick and my father looked after the house during the two or three days that she couldn't. But other than that, he looked after the house. And I mean, she looked after the house. And he did the work, most of the work on the outside. She worked in the field, but the housework came first with her. You know, the rest of us would go to work in the field at sunup. She would, as I've already said, get up and get the breakfast, and we would eat and go to work. And then she would wash the dishes and sweep the floor and clean up the house. And then she would go to the field and work until almost lunchtime. And almost lunchtime, she would quit. The rest of us would work on until lunchtime. But she would quit and go to the house and fix lunch and have lunch ready when the rest of us got there. Afternoon, it was the same way. She did the housework, and what had to be done in the house, she would do. And the rest of us would go ahead and go to the field and work, and she would come when she finished the housework, and she would quit in time to go and have supper ready for us when we got there. Of course, part of her chore at the house was milking the cows in the morning and in the evening while the rest of us were not there. She taught us to work and to enjoy working. When I grew up and began to work, when I finally learned to work, I enjoyed working on the farm. When I got out and began to work for a living, I never did anything that I didn't enjoy doing. Never worked at something, never had to work at something where just working at that was a particular labor. I could always enjoy doing it. And still do. And of course, I've reached a point now. I love to sit down here once in a while. And my sitting down spells are getting closer and closer together and longer at the time. She had a great influence in that. She looked after the needs that we had, and, you know, the natural needs. God has given us the church to look after our spiritual needs. As she cared for our nature, our natural needs, so the church cares for our spiritual needs. I mentioned a while ago about the food aspect. God has provided spiritual food for us. Jesus, the bread of life. That means that if it were not for Him and for the awareness that we have of His being with us day by day, if it were not for that, we would fall by the wayside. And I think that one of the reasons that in recent years there has seemed to be a lack of spirituality in the churches, and I'm not just talking about our people. In fact, I think it's probably more prevalent among other people than it is among us. The lack of spirituality, because we've been so busy, have become so busy with life's things, natural things, that we don't think about Christ and what He's done. When we don't think about Him, He becomes further and further away and more less and less meaningful in our lives. And I think that that's the reason that there is such a lack of spirituality among God's people. Now, I think that we probably are more aware of it, mainly because all of the other denominations have as their basic teaching that if you don't measure up to some certain standard, you're going to miss heaven. And nobody wants to go so far as to miss heaven. I shirk the work that needs to be done, but I'm not going to shirk it so much that I would miss heaven. And I think that idea among other people kind of encourages them to be a little bit more active, whereas we know that Jesus has already taken care of that part of it, and that as far as we're concerned, heaven is certain for us because of what Jesus has done. And so then we then have more of a tendency to neglect our duty. But we ought to always be aware of Him and what He has done, and that what He has done for us puts us under an obligation to render to Him of our lives. As I was coming along the road this morning, I thought about looking in the Bible for some examples of good mothers. And the only one that I found was Hannah, and I talked about her last year. So I didn't want to repeat talking about her. It had been a different sermon, but we didn't even want to talk about her again because of having used that subject last year. Paul, in writing to the young preacher Timothy, I rather think that Timothy was a young member of the church, a young member of a church that Paul was serving. I'm not going to say that Paul was pastor of, but he ministered there. Paul's method was that he would go into a place and would go into a town telling the people about Jesus and what Jesus had done. The people would become interested. Paul would labor in that place for a year or so, or a few years, a short time. And when the church became strong enough, there would be one in the congregation, in the attendance of the church, that God laid the burden of the gospel on. Paul would ordain that young preacher. I don't mean necessarily that it was always a young man that was, that God called, but he would be young in the ministry. That's the way I was using the word young. A lot of times it would be a young person. Paul would ordain that young person, our young preacher, and then he then would become the pastor of the church, and Paul would move on to another town and would repeat the process there. One of the young ones that came up under Paul's ministry was Timothy. Paul didn't leave Timothy as a pastor of a local church. Timothy went with Paul when he went to the next town and labored with Paul, and Paul then would use him would leave Timothy. You know, he would go to another place and they would labor and get the church to going, and then Paul would leave Timothy there, and Timothy would be the one that would develop the local church. Paul would go on to another place and start another church. But Paul wrote a letter to this young preacher, Timothy. As he wrote the letter, as he was beginning the letter, he expressed to Timothy how much he, Paul, desired to be with Timothy. And as he referred to the positive aspects of Timothy, mentioned Timothy's faith. And as he mentioned Timothy's faith, he mentioned the fact that faith was a family characteristic, a family trait in Timothy's family. That he, Paul, had first observed that trait, faith, in Timothy's grandmother. Her name was Lois. And Paul mentioned that that's where he had observed that tendency in the family first was in the life of Lois. And that then he observed that trait in Timothy's mother, and her name was Eunice. And then Paul mentioned that he felt that that same trait was also in Timothy. He didn't know Timothy as well as he did the others because they were older and he'd been associated with them longer, but he knew that that trait, that family trait, was evident in him. He didn't say so, but the implication was that Lois had taught Eunice to depend on Jesus. And really that's what faith is depending on Jesus. Committing our lives to Him, to Jesus, and living the kind of life that Jesus would have us to live, and living that life depending on Him, Jesus, to lead us in it and to bless us as we live that life. And Paul was implying that Lois had taught Eunice to depend on Jesus, and that Eunice had taught Timothy to depend on Jesus. And of course, as he was thinking in terms of Timothy, remember Paul's ministry was not all that long in years. I thought about that. The Lord had blessed me to be in his service for over 60 years. Paul was probably not 60 years old when he died. And he was grown before he became a disciple of Jesus. So Paul did not have that long a period of time in the service of Christ. So for him to have known these three generations doesn't mean that he spent a lot of time with them, but he labored with them in the churches, learned to appreciate them and to witness their confidence and rejoice in their confidence in Jesus. As those mothers taught each one of them, taught the next generation to depend on Christ. So a major part of the work of the church is to labor with the people who are associated with her, with the church, to foster in them the same level of dependence on Christ. I find that I don't think about him as much on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as I do on Sunday. Then once in a while, you know, I will have a thought about him on those other days. But on the other days, most of the time, I'm thinking about me and the things that I need to do and not thinking too much about him and what he's done for me. I ought to be more constant. We all ought to be more constant. And it doesn't matter how constant we are, we ought to always be striving to do better. I'm reminded right here of something that Brother Revels Sr. said to me. He was pastoring up close to Macon. I lived in Macon. We would go to Jacksonville about every year and stay a few days. And one day I was with Brother Revels on the weekend and mentioned to him that we were going to Jacksonville the next week. And he said, well, if you go to church down there and you see my son, Revels Jr., he was later preaching for us. Brother Revels said, if you happen to see my son, you tell him to behave himself and to do better. In the conversation, Brother Revels said, when I say tell him to do better, don't mean that I'm finding something wrong with him, but it don't matter how good he's doing, he ought to do better. And we all ought to be that way. Well, as Lois and Eunice encouraged Timothy, so the church, part of her work is to encourage us, all of us, to do better. The church is that God has given to us to sustain us in the area of the Spirit, even as He gave mothers to sustain us and help us and encourage us and instruct us. My mother taught me what was right and what was wrong, the difference between right and wrong, and taught me that I ought to always do what was right. The church does the same thing. My mother, when I misbehaved, she'd tear me out of frame. And the church ought to set a standard before her members and insist that they live up to that standard. I'm afraid that our people have largely failed in that respect, and that's one of the reasons that so many of our members, our people will join and then fall away, because they just lose sight of Him and what He's done and how they ought to live, and so involved with the day-by-day affairs of life that they forget about Jesus. And the church ought to be insisting, encouraging them. And I fear that we don't really encourage one another. Don't work at fostering a feeling of fellowship among us. We come and we enjoy getting together, but when we go home, we kind of separate and don't think about one another until the next gathering. And the young ones, when they come along, they're not brought into that feeling of intimacy among the members, and so they grow away from us. And I think that's one of the reasons that most of our churches have fallen off in attendance, and particularly with the younger generation. Well, the Lord help us. I know this has been rambling. The Lord help us that we might examine ourselves and that we might strive to do better. No matter how good we've been doing, we can always strive to do better. The Lord help us is my prayer. We're going to stand and sing a song. And as we sing, we announce the open door of the church.